Hello and welcome to the First and Ten preview for week five of the NFL season. I'm Ollie, once again joined by Dave. Dave, how are you doing, mate?
You're not bad yourself.
Yeah, very good. Thanks. Had a very good day at Jaguars practice today. It was very exciting getting to interview Doug Pederson and Trevor Lawrence. And yeah, looking forward to going back tomorrow.
Got the big
Ash, what?
exclusive with Lawrence and the dog, didn't you? Also.
Yeah. Well, I did. I was actually talking to the Jags PR guy. I was asking him if he put that there as a plant to make him seem more human. But yeah, it's interesting. Just seeing them up close and personal is always very interesting. Ash, what about you? How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, bud. We finally got a win last week, Chargers. It was painful as usual, but at least we put up a dub, so that's the main thing.
Oh, I wish I knew what that felt like. We'll move on to week five. Let's not talk about Monday night. We'll move on to the Bears and the Commanders. Not the most inspiring Thursday night game, but I guess there's some level of intrigue. Dave, Sam Howell had a pretty good performance last week. Were you expecting more of the same from him against, I guess, was a pretty poor Bears team at the moment?
Yeah, I think so. Say Fields looked all right for the first half, but I've just sort of taken anything against this Denver defense with a pinch of salt, really. Yeah, I think Washington's going to be far, far too strong for the Bears. They just look like an absolutely dead team, don't they? That sort of the coach is almost all re like almost definitely going to be fired. I think everyone around knows that. Fields might not have that job there next year. Everyone on that team is probably going to be replaced, and it sort of feels a bit like that when you watch them. It's yeah, probably not the best place to be right now.
Fair enough. And yeah, there's Matt Eberflus obviously fighting for his job at this point. Ash, how long do you think he's got?
Well, not very long after the last week. I mean, they just completely threw it away last week. They were so far up. I don't really know how they come away with the loss, to be honest. That second half display was a shambles. But I mean, Washington look far more, I wouldn't say complete unit, but they definitely look far more, they look far better than they did last year. At one point, I thought they were Ron Rivera, because after last year, I thought Ron Rivera was going to get the chop, and obviously he hasn't. But and I still think that they're not exactly a well-run side in regards to the future of that franchise. But what the decisions he's made with bringing Howell in since the start of the season and a few other things that he's done, they are on the upward curve, which is far more than I thought they would be probably 18 months prior. So they've done a good job in regards to the recruitment and building the sort of team spirit. I think Robinson's been doing good on the run game and a few things like that. And Howell's a pleasant surprise, to be honest. I mean, he was good at North Carolina, but he's actually stepped up, and you could argue he might be better than about six or seven other QBs in the league at the moment. So he's doing a pretty good job for Washington. They're 2-2. So I expect it, with Washington being at home, I expect it to be relatively comfortable, just because Chicago, like Dave mentioned, are just a bit of a mess at the moment. They just seem to be all over the show. And like he said, also that Denver D is just horrendous. So that Chicago commit two touchdowns, Herbert going off and Fields going off. I think this Washington D is going to be slightly different, considering how hard it was for Philadelphia to put up the points this last weekend. So, yeah, I see Washington win it. Probably, I would say maybe definitely a touchdown, could be 10.
That is, yeah, this it seems about accurate. I'm taking the Commanders as well on this one. We'll just skip over the Jaguars and Bill games for now. We are going to do a more in-depth preview on that game since we are doing quite a few of the press conferences this week for both the Jags and the Bills. If you're listening to this now, you can already listen to the first day of the Jaguars press conferences from Wednesday. Doug Pederson and Trevor Lawrence both spoke. We'll also be going back to Jaguars on Thursday and to the Bills on Friday. Maybe the Jaguars, but not sure about that. But yeah, so please do make sure listen to all of those. We'll have coverage from both teams across this week. Moving on to the Sunday 6 o'clock window, we've got the Texans at the Falcons. Ash, obviously, didn't see a great performance from the Falcons in London. Are you expecting them to step it up here, or are the Texans a good enough team to pass them by? It's quite tough. They're both 2-2. Not really sure what to expect.
Yeah, I think that if I'm honest, I think the Texans have been a pleasant surprise so far. I think they've hit home runs with Anderson, and CJ Stroud looks, at the moment, you could argue, looks the best of the three rookies that come into the league. So, and I think that even though they may not have an alpha at wide receiver, between Collins, Dell, and Woods, it seems to be working quite well for them. They haven't got the run game going, but I expect with the reason that is mainly is because of their offensive line. I think they've got both their tackles are out and one of the guards is out. But at them, I think what they're hearing this week is maybe one or possibly two is returning from either IR or injury. So that could be a huge boost for Houston, especially more in the run game. Atlanta at the moment, they kind of just seem like they're good enough to beat the bad teams. But as soon as they come up with against anyone with a half decent QB and a half decent defense, they're not in the races. So, I mean, I've never really been a Ridder guy. And the only way Atlanta are winning this game is if Bijan is unreal. Like, he has one of them McCaffrey sort of games. So I've gone for Houston in this game. I think it'll be closer, maybe 3 to 5 points. But I would definitely say I think Houston have got more ammo than Atlanta have got. Even though Atlanta's run game is good, I still think Houston will be able to compete with them, especially if they get a couple of their O-line back this week.
Yeah, this is one game that I think it might be the one that I'm most torn on this week. I'm really struggling to pick the winner here. Because at the same time, with Houston, it feels like the vibes in Houston are just better. And I understand it's probably not a great reason to pick a winner. But at the moment, a lot of questions surrounding Arthur Smith over whether he's going to change the quarterback. But at the same time, they have shown some signs of promise. I don't know. I'm really struggling. Dave, have you got a clear winner in your mind here?
The same as you. It sort of feels like Atlanta should be the pick, you know, when you look at the two teams and what they've got. But just that vibe out of Houston is just so much better than the Falcons. And I feel like I'm just going to pick against the Falcons until they do something either at quarterback or, you know, hopefully the coach, if you actually want the Falcons to do well. I just don't get Arthur Smith. He makes such odd decisions to me. You know, he's supposed to be this offensive guy, and I don't know, I just don't really see it with him. He's so, I don't know, his offense is so basic and so, I don't know, I don't even know if basic's the right word. I think he's just awful. So he's got these stars, he can't find any way to get them into it. And so I know not everyone can run Miami's team, but it's not they've got tons of players in Miami who they run the offense through. They basically have two receivers and a couple of running backs that sort of share the load and a quarterback. There's not really like a lot else going on there. You know, their other players don't really get into it much. And they find a way to get them players the ball all the time. And the Falcons just can't get the ball to the players that they really need to get the ball to unless it's just turning around and handing it off. So, yeah, I don't know. I just think that the whole offense to me just seems so flawed. And, you know, the team is built so badly. You know, they needed a quarterback 3 years ago. And they've taken just like luxury pick after luxury pick for me when there was quarterbacks there to be taken at a place they were drafting from. And yeah, I don't know. This team's just built so badly. And I don't know. I'm just going to pick against them for the rest of the season, I think, just automatically. Whoever they're playing, I'm picking the other side. So yeah, Houston for me.
Yeah.
I'm still really struggling with this. It's because it's also the Falcons at home. I feel like the Falcons offense is maybe just good enough and the Texans defense isn't as good as the Jags, and that they're going to suffocate them. I feel
one thing I would say is that maybe we haven't obviously taken into account, but obviously Atlanta have been in the UK, so they're going to have to go back. Is their time difference, is their body clock's a little bit different? I mean, I don't know how long they were over for, but that might be a little factor of a bit of jet lag or a bit of like they're not quite as fit as they would be if they were at home. So I think if I was a better man, I'd be Houston by 3.
Yeah, but that just means their linebackers are going to be hopped up on melatonin and caffeine. So I to be honest, it makes me want to pick them more. Yeah, you know, I'm going with the Falcons. As much as I said, it talks about the vibes being better in the Houston, I don't know. I think it's just the defense of Houston. I think the Falcons' offense is just about good enough to get them through this game.
Hey, you're winning our rumble, so I can't argue with you at the moment.
And this is the thing: the Gus is doing me a lot of favors at the moment, so we'll see if that continues. The Panthers taking on the Lions next. Dave, Bryce Young starting again for this one. Are you expecting anything from him yet, or do you think we just leave him to it at the moment? We're not, you know, expectations aren't too high.
I just didn't really expect anything much coming to the season, and I think it's hard to just completely write off a season, but that's sort of how I felt with him, that it's just one of those where, as long as he doesn't look awful, and I don't think he has, then, like, just fine. Once they get a bit more around him, like, I imagine they'll be one of the big players when it comes to sort of these free agent wide receivers that are likely to be available next year, and there's a few good ones. I think then I'll start to sort of think more about him. But, I mean, it would be nice to see a bit of progress as the season goes on, and I think we will see that. But, yeah, I don't think... I'm not expecting a great deal from them, and, you know, I really do think the Bears could end up with the top two picks where they own this Panthers first rounder next year. I can't see them winning too many games. I think we said last week that, you know, Young, as much as I like him, I'm not sure he is their best option in terms of actually winning games right now. But I would still play him anyway if I was them. The season isn't really about winning. It's just about getting him used to the NFL and sort of helping him develop, really.
Yeah, I'm going to be taking the Lions on this one. Ash, are you taking the Lions as well?
Yeah, I think that run game at the moment is beastly from Detroit. The offensive line is really, really working. Goff's doing enough to keep it sweet for most fantasy owners with Amon-Ra and Laporta as such. I think, I'm not 100% sure, but is Jameson Williams back this week because they got the suspension reduced? Yeah,
I don't know how much he's going to play, but he's definitely...
He might be on a snap count, maybe watch for one big burn or something like that. But, I mean, to be fair about Bryce Young, that offensive line is probably the worst in the league at the moment. They're terrible when you watch them play. They can't get a run game going. They can't get a throwing game going. Like, no one has any time. Yeah. The reason Dalton was putting up so many points is because he was literally just hooning great big long throws to Thielen and Chark against Seattle, because none of them have got any time to throw, and the run game's abysmal as well at the moment, just with that O-line. So yeah, I can't see anything other than a Detroit win on this one.
Yeah, that seems fair enough. They're definitely in the conversation for worst O-line, but that's a conversation for another time.
the winner of that's coming up shortly.
But before we get there, the Titans and the Colts, they're going to be playing, I mean, it feels like sort of two nothing teams, if I'm being honest. I mean, the Titans, they still feel, it just feels like an old roster that isn't really going to be winning anything, so, and therefore kind of pointless. And the Colts, they've only just got Anthony Richardson. He's playing well, but they aren't really winning yet. Ash, have you got a clear favourite for this one?
I haven't got a clear favourite. I just think maybe we underestimate maybe the experience side of this, where Indy looked... They looked okay, but they kind of came into a game really they had no business being in this weekend. And I think Tennessee just, but it was going to be close. It could be another overtime for Richardson again. I think Taylor's back, maybe back. I don't know if he'll be on a snap count or if Jim Irsay is just going to just flat out refuse to ask him to play, but I just think the Tennessee maybe just have a little bit more experience in these sort of close-ish games. I think it'd be very run heavy, obviously, with Taylor if he's playing and Henry. But I think Tennessee have got slightly better defense, so we're going to go Tennessee just.
Fair enough. Yeah, I did pick against the Colts last week. I am still talking about the fact that I was the only one to pick the Rams. Yes, I'm still talking about it. I think just schematically the Rams were able to, I guess it feels like there's a bit of naivety about this Colts team. They have shown some spirit. I just don't know. It's one of those, are they that much better talent wise than the Titans to get the win? I'm going to say they probably just about are. I'm going to take the Colts on this one. Dave, who have you got?
Yeah, I think it's a really bad matchup for the Colts, really. I mean, last week they got behind the Colts, you know, again when you would expect lots of passing, and Anthony Richardson, what are they, 20 points down, something like that, 23 points or whatever it was. You'd expect lots of passing. Anthony Richardson completed 11 passes. You know, it's not, and I think the Titans, their defense is all about stopping the run, really. They're so good at that. I think if you to beat the Titans, you've got to better pass the ball, and I'm just not sure there's enough in this Colts passing game to really do it. Yeah, I think the Titans will just have enough to just sort of, I don't think it's going to be a particularly interesting game. I mean, probably a lot of running the ball and, you know, probably not loads and loads of points. But yeah, I think the Titans just have, I think they just match up quite well in this one. You say Jonathan Taylor coming back would make a difference, but he's definitely, like, I know he can play, but it sounds like he still doesn't want to play. So I don't really know how that gets worked out or what happens with it. But yeah, I think that would maybe tip it slightly more towards the Colts, but I think I'd still pick the Titans anyway. But yeah, if Taylor doesn't play, I'm definitely going Titans. But you know, if he plays, then maybe a bit more 50-50. But yeah, Titans for me.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think the picks competition is starting to get in my head a little bit, because I don't know whether I keep picking the upsets or I just play it safe at this point. But I'm going to go with the Colts. I know it's not, yeah, it's really tough because I feel like I could just be throwing away a lead. But yeah, just got to not think about it. Go with the team I think is going to win. It's going to be the Colts. All going to be fine. Moving on to the Giants' first game of their postseason. Yeah, I mean, season's done for me, really. Especially if they do lose it. It would take a miracle performance to get a win against Miami or Buffalo. It has to be at least one if they really do want to keep the season alive. I'm expecting losses in both. I'm expecting us to be 1-5. Dave, are you predicting anything other than that?
No. I thought we might be the Seahawks, and then that was just a disaster. We talk about this Miami offense a lot, but I think defensively they're pretty decent as well. They're not bad on defense, and you know, if with a chance not being able to stop anyone, this one could get out of hand, I think. I think it's an easy pick really for Miami, and as you say, that loss on Monday was basically the end of the season, wasn't it? I think for the Giants with the schedule coming up, if they could have got a couple of wins, the back half gets a bit easier. But yeah, I think there's a lot of tough teams on the way, and can't really see the Giants doing too much from here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. I'm expecting us to be 1-5. Still got to play the Eagles twice. Still got to play the Cowboys again. I really struggled to see us coming back at all. Ash, who have you got in this game?
Miami. We don't even need to talk about anything else. I'll save you the horrificness of talking about the Giants, mate. I think it's just Miami will bounce back from the Buffalo game. I think they didn't have a great performance against Buffalo, and I think they've got all the tools to be able to beat the Giants the way they're playing at the moment. It's just there's something quite not right down there after last year. Maybe it was just they overexceeded last year, and it's just the bubbles burst a little bit.
Yeah, we won't worry too much about that. We'll talk about the other teams who are suffering. The Patriots are taking on the Saints this week. Dave, are you optimistic for this one?
No. again, we can spend as much time as we did on the Giants if you want. I really wish it was a bye week. I wish it was a bye week, sort of all the way to the end of the season, to be honest with you. But, you know, the two best defensive players now out for the season.
Jackson in to turn the season around?
I know the picks were basically nothing, but I don't really know the point.
I think they did it for Gonzalez, the cover for Gonzalez.
I know that, but sort of.
They don't know the reason why they did it, yeah.
Yeah, we're not winning, you know, just like, just play the season out. At this stage, I would happily go, like, lose every game the rest of the season just to hopefully pick one of those quarterbacks, because I just can't watch another season of him. I don't know. We spoke about it a lot on Monday, on whether or not we did it. I won't talk too much about it, but my God, that was the worst performance I've ever seen, I think, for the Patriots. And It hasn't got any easier since. So yeah, I'm picking the Saints here. A bit like the Falcons. I'm just going to pencil myself in as just picking against the Patriots and the Falcons just because they're absolutely miserable offenses to watch and how much they annoy me for the rest of the season. So yeah, Saints for me.
Yeah, I'm taking Saints here as well. Carl, Winston, I think both going to make it relatively easy over Patriots. Ash, you going with Saints as well?
I think this is my only upset. I think I was looking around trying to see where I would find an upset at the moment, and I couldn't really see one. And this is the kind of game New England win where they've had an absolute shocker. Everyone's writing them off. They think, nah, this is it now. They don't know what they're doing. Need a quarterback change. No defense, and then they go and beat the Saints. I think this is the kind of game that they do that. So maybe they get the run game going because obviously the run game's still. Like they haven't really got Stevenson going that much at the moment. Maybe that's they turn to that a little bit more. New Orleans didn't look great at the weekend. So it's not like they're going to be turning over a team that's on fire. They're all guns blazing at the moment. Carr looked really ropey. He looks like he's struggling still with that injury, even though he came back so quick. Like it, I think that this is a game they could possibly win. Do I think, am I certain of it? Absolutely not. But looking across the calendar, there's always one or two games you think, well, that was a surprise. And it wouldn't shock me if New England beat New Orleans. And it wouldn't shock me if it was sort of like a field goal frenzy in New England this weekend.
Fair enough. Sounds fascinating to watch. we've got the Ravens and the Steelers next. It's an interesting one because obviously the Ravens have just beaten the Browns in their other division game. Steelers coming off a loss. Is that pretty much where these teams are at the moment? Are the Ravens contenders? Are Steelers not really worth talking about, Ash? Is that how you see them?
I mean, Pittsburgh at the moment has got one of the worst offenses in the league. I don't really know how Matt Canada's still doing what he's doing. I mean, this is the most pedestrian offense going.
He's been promoted.
I just don't understand the logic of it. It's like, oh, who's doing a bad job? Matt Canada. Let's promote him, make him even more in charge of it. Like, they just seem to be all... I mean, Pickett's not been playing that great. And obviously, they lost Deontay, which is a huge safety blanket for Pickett. So I can understand that. They lost Freiermuth in-game last week, hamstring injury, so he's out for a few weeks. So they're really, really struggling to get anything going on offense here. So... It does worry me when you've got Lamar Jackson coming into town. I can't really see anything other than Baltimore, to be honest. I think that they're starting to pick up wins now, but I still don't know if this is a Baltimore team that we've been used to and scared of in the past. I think the defense has always been a lot better than what this team's got. Maybe they've got more offensive weapons, but it's still not quite clicking at the moment. So maybe they adjust a few things. Maybe we saw it this weekend that Lamar Jackson was far more involved in the run game, which it kind of did help, whereas the first few weeks he wasn't as involved as much. So maybe they are reverting back to more of that sort of style of play. I know he wants to create this pass-happy Georgia offense, but I don't know if he's really got all the tools for that at the moment. But this Baltimore team, I think, have got more than enough to beat the Mitch Trubisky Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think it's a Baltimore win.
Bernard, yeah, I'm going to take the Ravens as well on this one. Dave, you taking the Ravens?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Ravens could easily be 4-1 here, and I haven't really been impressed with them on any game. But, you know, like all the talk of this season was about, like, you know, change of coordinator and how the offense is going to be so different. And I'm not going to pretend I sit here studying the Ravens offense every week, but I've like watched plenty of it. Like, to me, it doesn't really look any different to pretty much what it's looked the whole of Lamar Jackson's career. I'm sure there's subtle differences, but, you know, just as a sort of as a basic sort of thing, I don't feel like it's that much different. I don't think anything's particularly changed. I don't feel that much better about it. You know, I don't feel particularly confident in it. But I think they've sort of, you know, maybe got away with it a little bit with who they've played and at the right times and stuff like that. And not that I think the Kenny Pickett led Steelers was some real force, but, you know, it's probably a boost to not play him and get to play Trubisky. But I think, as we said on Monday, I don't think it's some massive downgrade to Trubisky, to be honest. And that's not really too complimentary to Pickett. But yeah, I think the Ravens just have a bit too much. And, you know, I think the Steelers are defensively, they're good up front, but I'm not sure they're too good against the pass, really. And it might be that this is the time we see the Ravens sort of passing game come alive a little bit.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if how the Steelers' offense does develop. Because to be honest, from the looks of it, I don't think it matters who's at quarterback. I think they're just really struggling at the moment all around. Yeah, so Ravens on that one. Moving on to the Bengals at the Cardinals next. Seen a lot of struggles from this Bengals offense. This was one that I was slightly tempted to go for the upset here, maybe take the Cardinals. I think the Bengals probably do have just about enough to get the win on this one. Ash, could you see an upset on this one?
It wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me how both these teams are playing. Arizona have been a pleasant surprise. They haven't really been completely mauled over by any team at the moment. They've always kind of been in it to some extent. Obviously, they've had bad halves and stuff like that, but they've always kind of been in it. I think Dobbs has played okay, and the ground game, Connor's been good, and Hollywood's been all right. And so they haven't been horrendous. Like, I think everyone thought this team were like banking number one pick, 100%. What are they going to do with Kyler Murray, et cetera, et cetera? But they have been a pleasant surprise. Whereas, obviously, on the other hand, Cincinnati have just been all over the place. Like, this team is unrecognizable from the team that was in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. So I'm not really too sure kind of what's really changed much, to be honest. Like, their offensive line's probably better than that Super Bowl one. And obviously, we know that Joe Burrow is probably playing hurt, which is obviously you can kind of see on just how this offense is clicking at the moment. But you still think, like, even Joe Burrow with one arm and one leg might be able to continue be as good as Josh Dobbs in some respects. Like, obviously Joe Burrow is one of the best QBs in the league. So either this injury is really bothering him, and if so, they should have maybe put him on IR. But this Cincinnati team just look, I don't really know what to say about it. I'm quite in shock really of how bad Cincinnati have been over the past 4 weeks. So Higgins out with a broken rib. Not sure if he's playing this week or not. That will be a big miss for them. And they haven't really been able to get this ground game going as much, but I would maybe think it could be a dump off to Mixon kind of week in some respects, get Mixon going on the ground. So maybe try and come away from the pass and set it up more as a play action sort of stuff and use Chase on the deep and use his yards just to catch ability. So I'm going to take Cincinnati, but I'm not happy that I'm doing it. But I think that they've just got more as a team. And if they can click, they are the better team.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joe Burrow has said that he's feeling better than last week. Take that as you will. I believe it when I see it, I guess. But yeah, it's just, I guess it just limits the whole playbook when you know, your quarterback isn't fully mobile as you expect him to be. Mm-hmm. Dave, who are you taking in this one?
I think I pick the Bengals every week, and it feels like I just can't give up now. but I feel like this is one of them things where, you know, when your quarterback is obviously struggling, this is when sort of you rely on your coach to really sort of scheme things up and find a way to work around it. And they've just not done that. And it maybe shows the limitations he's got as a coach, but I don't know. I just can't pick the Cardinals against the Bengals here. Like, I just can't do it. But, you know, it does feel a bit sort of like fool me once with the Bengals, isn't it? It's, I've got to pick the Bengals, but yeah, I mean, it's getting harder and harder every week to pick it when you just see them come out and just look dreadful. But yeah, I think they need to do a better job with the coaching, do a better job, you know, helping Burrow out, whatever that is, whether that is benched him. I don't know if that is like the answer, but you know, they've got to do whatever they can to help him and, you know, change up the plays a little bit to, you know, minimize issues. Like, he's supposed to be a great coach, and you know, I'm not sure he's shown that through 4 weeks really, but yeah, I'm picking the Bengals, but say so, I don't really like it, but like I said, really.
Yeah, I could definitely see an upset on this one. Hopefully we do see that Bengals offense back to full strength sooner rather than later. Moving on to the Eagles at the Rams. Rams put up a decent performance. I mean, just about hanging on to the win against the Colts last week. Eagles, everyone seems to be saying we haven't seen them 100% yet, but they still 4-0. So I guess that's just sign of a good team, as the old cliche goes, isn't it? Dave, are you taking the Eagles on this one?
Yeah, but I think, like what I said about the Bengals, you know, where the coaching job, I think this is probably one of the best coaching jobs that McVay's done since he's been there. You know, he's really getting the most out of not a great deal, to be honest. It's not like, you know, you look at both sides of the ball, there's not loads there. Like, there's no real, like, coming into season, I think everyone was down on the Rams, weren't they, really? I don't think anyone was really thinking they were going to do much. And, I mean, they've looked more than competitive. And, again, I don't think it'd be an absolute shocker if the Rams come out of this with a win. I think the Eagles have looked beatable, even though they are 4-0. I think they have looked like they've got a bit of weakness there. I think especially defending against the pass, I think the secondary doesn't look... just looks a little bit disjointed, really. And, I'm picking the Eagles, but I feel like this isn't, you know, a slam dunk that maybe, you know, 4 weeks ago, I think wouldn't have even penciled it in. It'd been written in pen that the Eagles win this game. I'm not sure it is that game now. And, you know, if Cut plays, that's another weapon that really could make a difference. You know, even if he plays like, I don't know, half a snaps or something, it's still Cooper Cup to go with what they're already doing really well in the passing game. So, yeah, I'm picking Eagles, but I sort of want to pick the Rams, but I just can't pull the trigger.
Yeah, this one is, I feel like you'd be mad to pick the Rams on this one, wouldn't you? Ash, is that how you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way the Rams are going to win if it's like death by a thousand cuts, because I think that it's going to be like 52 attempts throwing the ball, 43 completions, all of them to Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, like just little slants and little digs and try and carve Philly up that way, because the pass rush is good. This Eagles pass rush is good. So Stafford's not going to be able to have much time on the ball because the Rams offensive line isn't amazing. So I think the only way they win is sort of that death by a thousand cuts routine against and keeping hold of the ball, keeping it in play, and stop this big juggernaut Philadelphia Eagle offense being on the field that much. I think that's the only really way they're going to win this game. But Philly just seem to look, at the moment, they look like they're kicking along in second gear and they're 4-0, which is depressing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so a Cup was apparently due to return to practice today. I haven't heard how much he's participated, if at all. But obviously that is quite a big factor if he does return. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the Rams have a chance. Yeah. Speaking of another team with significant injury problems, the Jets still haven't found their quarterback, really. Although maybe you could say Zach Wilson's performance was good enough against the Chiefs to warrant him keeping the job for at least another week. Ash, how do you see them matching up against the Broncos?
I think this Denver D is so bad that it actually makes me think the Jets might win. I don't really know what's going to... this is not the team we thought the Sean Payton, Russell Wilson-led Denver would be like. Thought it would be far, far closer to the Saints than it would be this 1-3 team that just seemed to be hemorrhaging points. It's a crazy team, but they would take a lot of encouragement, I think, the Jets, from obviously the game against Kansas, containing Mahomes like they did. And if I'm honest, they had opportunities, the Jets, to get that over the line. So it wasn't horrendous from Zach Wilson. Obviously, we've seen it before where it has been, but I'm not sure that Denver have the ammo to make Zach Wilson that scared of the pass rush. And I think that if he can get it out similar to what he did with the Kansas City team, I think that they've got more than enough to be able to hold this Denver team off. And I think Jets just in this game.
Yeah, I don't think Zach Wilson's going to be seeing any ghosts on this one. I am taking the Jets. Like I said, I saw enough from Zach Wilson. We have seen some positive signs from the Broncos, and obviously they beat the Bears last week, but how much you actually take from that leaves to be questioned. I do think the Jets are just about good enough to come and get the win on this one. Dave, who are you taking?
I honestly think Russell Wilson has been okay so far. I don't think he's looked too bad. And as much as Wilson looked fine the other night, I don't think he was great still. I'm picking Denver. I don't I don't think I feel good about it either way here, but, you know, yeah, I picked Denver. just think Russell Wilson has probably done enough and been sort of decent enough to carry them to this win in probably a game that nobody's going to be paying too much attention to.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. One that will get a bit more attention, I feel, Chiefs-Vikings. Vikings, as we said, they've looked sort of okay. Like, not that much worse than they did last season, but they found themselves at 1-3. Is this... I mean, Dave, do you see this as a potential point for the Vikings to make a statement? Or are the Chiefs just a much better team and they're just going to run away with it?
I think a bit like I said about the Eagles, I don't think the Chiefs have looked like great so far. Like they've been good, but I don't think they've been, you know, like the Chiefs we sort of come to know over the past few seasons. And
I think they're only winning because they're getting all the calls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think anytime you're going up against a team with Justin Jefferson on there, you know, they've got some other good weapons, I think that team's always going to have a chance to win. And Minnesota has been a tough place to go to since they got that new stadium. Again, a bit like the Eagles, I'm not picking the Vikings, but I don't think this would be an absolute shocker if the Vikings come away with a win. You know, all the games have been close. It's, you know, it was such a narrative coming into the season about last season and all the close wins and how it was going to even out. And it has sort of played out that way, that all their games have been close and they've just come out on the losing side of all of them. So it's like they're getting blown out. I don't think they've been good, but, you know, as I say, anytime you've got those players on offense, I think you've got a chance of beating anyone. And I think they've got a chance, but yeah, I'm still picking the Chiefs. So for all of that, yeah, I'm picking the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs too on this one. Ash, you taking the Chiefs?
Yeah, I have to take the Chiefs, unfortunately, but I would love it if Minnesota could turn them over at home. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch, though. I think it's going to be pretty high score, and I'd definitely be taking the over, whatever that line is at the moment. I could see a lot of fantasy aspects of Kelce and Hockerson and JJ, etc. They'll all be going off. We might even see a wide receiver actually catch more than 3 passes for the Kansas City Chiefs, which would be fun as well. So, yeah, I think this would be quite a high scoring game. I think this would be a real good watch. Might keep us awake because it would be one of the 9:25 games, I think. So, keep us awake in the getting closer to midnight after a long day.
Yeah, that's fair enough. We'll move on to the Sunday night game. Cowboys and Niners. This is an interesting one. Genuine contenders in the NFC. Is this... Do you see one team coming out as clearly above the other, Ash?
I think that we've kind of... This is the sort of game that you want to see this in this part of the season, where it's not, you haven't got the sort of this nervous energy around it being like a big high stakes game, but these are both big teams, both with good D's, probably you could argue the two best D's in the league at the moment in regards to what they've been putting up points wise and just turnovers and stuff. So I think that we'll really get to see what these teams are made of. Obviously, San Francisco went into Heinz Field week one, absolutely turned over Pittsburgh, and everyone was like, oh, that's a statement. But Pittsburgh aren't the team that we've seen. And they've beaten other teams that aren't great. Dallas, they've kind of been what we expected them to be. So this will be one of them games, I think, that it'll be real fun for the neutral to sit down and see what actually these two teams are like, and see if Dallas, because at the moment everyone says that San Francisco are probably the best team in the NFL, which player for player and how they're playing and the secret weapon they've got of McCaffrey, you can't really argue against. But it'll be nice to see if Dallas can put it and go toe-to-toe with San Francisco. And if that's the case, are San Francisco more human than we think, or are Dallas actually better than we're giving them credit for? So this is going to be a really, really, really good game to watch, and definitely one that I'll probably stay out for, to be honest.
Oh, that's going to be tough. I think there's too much risk in the Cowboys winning. I don't want to stay up for that. It's not been a good record when I've stayed up to watch games this season. I'm going to take the Niners on this one. I just think they're just such a well balanced team.
Yeah.
And then Brock Purdy just does what he needs to do, and that works really well for them. Cowboys are just too up and down for me. I'm really not sure what to expect from them. Dave, have you got a pick for this one?
Yeah, I think For me, I think the 49ers are just so complete. There's not really any sort of glaring issues with them. I think the Cowboys are capable of beating them. I just think it's hard to pick against the 49ers. Like, I don't think they're going to go 17-0, so someone's going to beat them, and the Cowboys are very much capable of that. But yeah, for me, it's the 49ers, I think, are just a real solid team that I think I will struggle to pick against all year long, really.
Yeah, that is definitely going to be an interesting one to see how that plays out. Two top teams in the NFC. We'll move on to the Monday night games. Packers at the Raiders. This is the thing. It does feel like a little bit of a downgrade after the Sunday night game. But, you know, I guess it could still be exciting. Dave, are you looking forward to this one?
Looking forward to is a stretch. But... I can guarantee you I will not be staying up to watch this one, which is sort of normally my test on, you know, these late games, whether I care enough about it. You know, I wake up and I check my phone in the morning. That'll probably do for me. Check if, you know, the few fantasy relevant players in this game have done anything for me or against me. But I don't think either of these teams are that interesting is a problem, are they? Adams, other than that, there's not too much about Vegas that's particularly interesting, and Green Bay, like, fine. There's not too much to care about here, I don't think.
I mean, I guess you get to see Jordan Love develop further would be the main thing there. I don't know, maybe the Packers are competitive in their division, but I feel like the Lions are... much better team. Ash, have you got a pick for this one?
I think Vegas might do them actually at home. I think they might do them at home. The Green Bay run D is not amazing. And they showed last week that now they've got Jacobs going, they have a far more balanced team when they do. Obviously, they got Jacobs going last week against us, but we still just about eked out that horrendous win against the Aiden O'Connell-led Las Vegas. I think Garoppolo might be back. I think he's out of concussion protocol today, or he's definitely should be out maybe by tomorrow. I think that if he's back, they're going to be far more balanced with Myers and Adams and Jacobs. And I think that although Jordan Love's been playing pretty well, I think that if they can get Jacobs going, that there'll be more than enough to beat Green Bay. But again, I think it'll be relatively close. I don't really like picking Vegas because I don't like them. I don't know if anyone saw the Jerry Tillery hit last week. That was bang out of order against Justin Herbert. So that was, there was a post went up. Someone sent did you see that hit by Tillery to Kyle Van Noy, who was at the Chargers last year? And Kyle Van Noy replied, I'm surprised there wasn't fisticuffs because no one really knows what happened last year inside the changing rooms. So I don't think Tillery's very well liked in the Chargers locker room anyway. And that's why he got traded to moved away. I think he actually got cut and then went to Las Vegas. And he obviously went to Vegas for spite because when the Chargers, ex-Chargers players do that, they normally go and sign for teams that the Chargers don't like. So, but yeah, I'm not happy that I'm picking Vegas, but I think that I'm going to have my head rule my heart on this one. I think that Vegas have got enough to beat Green Bay, especially on the ground.
Yeah, it is one of those, it was one of those hits where you just go, yeah, that's just unnecessary. There's like, you could see him clearly pulling up. The only thing is, there's another run later in the game, I think, where Herbert pretends to slow down and then speeds up again. And I'm just, I'm absolutely not excusing the hit from Tillery. I think absolutely a bad hit. But it's just, I do think it is tough for defenders if the quarterback's allowed to pretend to slow up and then keep going. Like, at what point do you call off the tackle? I don't know. I think they could maybe ease up the rules on defenders a little bit. But
was it Kenny Pickett or someone who did like a fake slide and then got up? Someone did it. And I think as soon as someone does that, then it's sort of like...
Yeah, you can't start doing that. That's
I'm sure it was Pickett or someone like that in like his first year or in college or something. One of the quarterbacks, one of the young ones, I can't think who it was, but you know, once they start doing that sort of stuff, it's yeah, it's iffy. I think they've got to sort of like play, you know, play fair almost, but you know, yeah, they're always going to get the calls. I think the quarterbacks in that situation, regardless.
Yeah, it's obviously that's where the money is, and you've got to protect that. But it's, yeah, it's just a bit murky on the rules, I guess.
I think that one in particular was bad. Like, I mean, he was
out of bounds.
Yeah, absolutely. That one in particular, there's no doubt in my mind that was.
You know, he did that cut and stuff.
Yeah, there was obviously some sort of, oh, I'm going to do that because I want to do that, rather than because you can't be that stupid to think that you were going to get thrown out of the game, because he was like 5 yards out of bounds when he got hit. So, like, it was just a silly play, to be honest. But enough of the Raiders; they're a horrible team. Yeah.
There's also Max Crosby just stood next to him, just immediately threw his hands in the air. Yeah. Like,
fair to Crosby, he is legit. Like, he has actually got talent, whereas Jerry Tillery is just flat out bad as a player. I don't even know how he's got a job.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. It's like when your own teammate's reacting like that as soon as you've made the hit, you know what way that's going.
Yeah.
So that sums up our Week 5 preview. As I mentioned earlier, please do check out the interviews from the Jaguars press conference from today and tomorrow, and the rest of the week we'll be doing all of the London teams. Please do check us out at First and Ten on Twitter. Dave, have you got any parting words for us?
No, I'm not going to talk about him. But you know, just play Bailey Zappi or something. Just anything but that.
And Dash, any parting words?
Good luck to Josh Dobbs and Mitch Trubisky this weekend, because I had to play both of them in the Superflex with Herbert and Geno Smith both out. So, good luck to Mitch and Josh Dobbs.
That'll be an interesting matchup. It's getting to the point now where Baker's been playing so well, and I've got him on a team where I've also got Daniel Jones, and that sort of conflict of start Baker ahead of Jones. Luckily, thanks to the bye week, that decision's been pushed back a week, but we'll get to that bridge when we need to. Thanks very much for listening. We've been First to 10, and we'll see you in a bit.